You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Kansas Citians are headed to the polls on June 20th to elect city council members and a mayor. All 12 council seats, and both at-large and in-district, are on the ballot, and 6 of the 12 current council members are term-limited out. Whoever is elected to these positions will need to address major issues facing our city, including violent crime, more affordable housing, and neighborhood livability issues. The new 5th District is in the southeast part of the city, from Troost Avenue on the west in some places, and as far east as Lee Summit Road. On the north, it's Emmanuel Cleaver, 2nd Boulevard, and its southern boundary extends past Interstate 470. Let me introduce the two 5th District at-large candidates to you now, and just a reminder that all voters across the city have a chance to vote on the at-large candidates. They are Michael Kelly. He's a policy director for Bike Walk KC. That's a nonprofit that works to improve walking and biking in Kansas City. Michael, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Daryl Curls recently retired from the Ford Motor Company, where he served as a union steward. Daryl, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let's start with why each of you want to serve on the city council and why you think you'd be effective at it. Michael, we'll start with you. Tell us a bit about yourself and why you're running.
Sure. And again, thank you for the listeners for listening. So my name is Michael Kelly. I'm running for city council in the 5th District at large, and I'm running for two very important reasons: my daughters. I was raised with this idea that we're supposed to leave this world in a better place than we found it. And when I look at all of the challenges that we face, I've increasingly found myself saying that I can't sit on the sidelines. So I'm running for city council to do my part to try to make Kansas City a better place for my daughters and for everyone who calls Kansas City home. The reason why I believe I am the best candidate for this race is because I am someone who has been able to bring policies, plans, and projects through the city council. I'm the only candidate in this race who has that experience. If you want someone who has the ability to build coalitions, who has the ability to count to 7 votes, then I am your candidate on Tuesday, June 20th.
Daryl, how about you?
Yes, thank you once again for giving me the opportunity. I'm running to help improve the quality of life of all Kansas Cityans and make Kansas City a world-class city. I believe that my background and my community involvement with neighborhoods and the city as a whole has given me the foundation to be the next city councilman. I'm the only candidate in this race that has had the opportunity to help and work in neighborhoods. I'm currently president of my homes association. I've currently served on the Hickman Mill School Board for 9 years, served as a Combat Commission chairman for 6 years, and served on various boards and commissions, PIAC, as well as community infrastructure for the city. And I believe that those opportunities have given me the foundation to be the next city councilman.
Let's turn to some issues here. Kansas City has a big need for affordable housing. Several steps have been taken in recent months, including creation of a $50 million housing trust fund. What more needs to be done to bring more affordable housing to the city? Michael, again, I'll start with you.
Sure. So there are really two things that I want to focus on if I'm elected with regards to affordable housing. The first is redefining what affordable means, and the second is taking a look at our zoning codes. So first, with regards to redefining affordability, right now in Kansas City, the definition for affordability is $1,200 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. I don't know about you, Steve, but that's not affordable for me and most Kansas Cityans that I know. We should take a look at narrowing that definition, because right now it's based on a regional definition that includes places like Johnson County. I think we should come up with something that is more Kansas City focused, and I'll push for that if elected. But with regards to zoning, right now a big chunk of our residential land is zoned for single family alone. And the problem with that is that has pushed us to build in a way that contributes to sprawl, but also limits housing choice. We need to make it easier to build the duplexes, the triplexes, the fourplexes that make up that missing middle that we have been losing for years. And I believe that that is something that we should be pushing for, to not only increase supply, but also bring down the cost, because there are more options for more people.
Daryl Curls, how about you? Affordable housing, what do you want to do?
I think that, one, we need to increase the funding that goes into the Housing Trust Fund. I know that you mentioned that the city just created or just put $50 million into it, and I think that that's a good start. But I think that we have to do more in regards to increasing.
How much more?
Steve, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how much more exactly, but we need to try to look at all avenues and try to see what it is.
So you like the idea of a trust fund, but the question is, where would you get another big chunk of money to put in there?
I think that you look at state and federal governments in regards to getting federal grants, getting other opportunities for them. I think you look at maybe looking at a dedicated fund that goes into it, maybe looking at maybe taking some of the sales tax dollars that already is committed and taking a portion of that so that you're not increasing taxes, but you are dedicating some more money that goes into that trust fund.
Why is the trust fund so important in your view?
I believe that it's an opportunity that we need to take advantage of, and I think that it's a good opportunity that has probably not been really used to its full advantage.
You know, there's been a lot of conversation and controversy in town over short-term rentals. Do you think it's a good thing that the current city council passed an ordinance to tighten those restrictions, Daryl?
I do. I believe that it's a good start. Now, whether it's the end-all to beat-all, probably not. But I think that it's a good start, and it gives us a framework to begin looking at addressing that issue. And I think that we need to take a look at it once it goes into effect. And if there's tweaks that need to be made, then we make those tweaks as we go forward.
How about you, Michael?
Sure, I agree. And I think that there's something that is important for voters to understand on this is that the ordinance as it was passed includes a one-year look back. So that means that the city is going to implement it, and then they are going to look back in a year and say, okay, what's working, what's not. I think one of the things that I am particularly interested in learning more about is how our staff are able to work against not just Airbnbs and Vrbo's, but also other short-term rental style apps that may create a back door, such as places like Swimply, which allow you to rent a swimming pool, but that could theoretically be used as a back door to also renting a house for a short-term period as well.
Okay. Let's turn to a different issue here. The mayor appointed 13 members to the city's new Commission on Reparations. The commission was sponsored by 3rd District Council member Melissa Robinson, who said the purpose of the group is to make recommendations to the city on how best to make reparations to Kansas City's black communities. I mean, do you support the city considering reparations, Daryl? What do you think?
Yes, I support it. I believe that it's a good step in regards to looking at what the possibilities are or the, you know, what that commission comes back. I want to see what those recommendations are. I think that it's something that should be looked at and probably is long overdue. So I definitely want to see what those recommendations are once they come back. And I applaud the mayor as well as Councilwoman Robinson for putting that together.
What do you think it should look like? What do you think reparations should look like?
Well, I think you have to look at everything. I don't think that a lot of people have the idea that it's all about money. It's monetary. That could be a component of it. But I think that you look at creating opportunities, because I think that African Americans have really been shorted in regards to giving access to capital, being able to get affordable housing, being able to help small businesses. So I think there's a lot of components that should be looked at.
So you're saying it doesn't necessarily have to be cash payments?
No, I wouldn't think so.
If reparations would include cash payments to residents, could you support it?
I'd have to see it. I don't want to make a comment yet because I just have to look and see.
Michael, how about you? What do you make of this whole commission idea to take a look at reparations? Good idea or not?
I think it's a good idea. I think that the thing that I really want to see is how they are going to specifically focus on the issues of transportation inequities as well as environmental inequities. So with regards to transportation, we know that transportation is something which disproportionately harms black Kansas Cityans. If you are someone who is walking or biking, you are significantly more likely to be the victim of traffic violence than someone who is white in Kansas City. And that is dated back to decisions that we made about land use as well as slavery and where people could and could not live as we were beginning to grow as a city.
Right. How about this idea that if these reparations wind up including cash payments to residents, if that's the recommendation, could you back something like that?
I think it's something that should be considered, but I don't think that that's the only element that we should be looking at when it comes to reparations in Kansas City.
And the other elements, again, being?
The other elements would be helping to pay for improvements that have harmed the community as a whole, as well as programs to create additional opportunities to make whole issues that have harmed Black Kansas Cityans, like housing.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
Okay, different topic here. It's shaping up, obviously, to be another deadly year in Kansas City. According to the Kansas City Police Department's website, there's been 78 homicides this year alone. That number is only rising almost daily. We're on pace to tie the all-time record for homicides in this town. What's causing all those killings, Michael? What do you hear? Any sense of what's going on out there?
I mean, I think what's going on is that there is just a lot of pain and a lot of concern. I think that when it comes to the issue of crime here in Kansas City, like in much of our country, the root cause is a lack of resources. People do not have the things that they need, access to food, access to shelter, access to education and jobs, which give them a good quality of life and deter them from committing those crimes in the first place. I think the vast majority of folks are committing these crimes not because they want to do it, but because they feel they have no other opportunity. And so it is our obligation as a city council to work to address those issues, to make people whole, and ultimately to prevent those crimes from occurring.
I mean, in a sense, that's a really big, potentially a really big ask
yes,
for the city
it
to
is.
Provide that level of wraparound services to a whole quadrant of the community. What does that look like? What do you envision?
So I think that it's important to kind of narrow in on violent crime and gun crime specifically. And so the things that I want to do in the short term to address that are really threefold. The first is increasing funding we are giving to existing and new organizations fighting crime. The second part is using the courts to go after bad actors. And then the third part is looking at innovative solutions. So really, really quick, if I can.
Yeah.
So with regards to new and existing organizations, we have allocated $30 million to help implement the KC360 program to help address gun violence based off of the model in Omaha. I think that we should look at additional ways to increase that funding for more organizations. With regards to legal options, Kansas City was able to secure a $150,000 settlement against an independence gun dealer who knew that their guns were being used for violent crimes. I think we should continue to expand upon and look at additional options related to that. The final part is innovative solutions. We were just talking about there was a road rage shooting this morning. We know that road rage shootings are increasing. So our focus, I think, as a city should also be looking at how can we specifically build our roads in a way that deters those road rage instances from happening and those shootings from following.
How do you build roads to avoid that?
You build roads in a way that discourages speeding. So if people have opportunities to speed, and we saw this during the pandemic, there was an increase in speeding that also led to an increase in shootings. If we're serious about trying to find ways to not only stop the violence, but also to calm traffic, I think this is an opportunity where there's an intersection, no pun intended, for us to find a way to address two issues at once.
You know, both of you, I believe, support local control of the police department. If that were to occur, how much difference would that make?
So I think it's important for us to draw a distinction between myself and my opponent on this. So my opponent is actually endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police, as well as the Citizens Association, which pushed to strip Kansas City of local control all the way back in the 1930s. So my opponent may say that he supports local control, but in reality, he's backed by the very interests that want to keep that in place. I support local control, and I believe that if it was brought forth, I think the way that it would help us is it would enable us to really direct officers to focus on issues of education. I don't think enforcement alone is going to be the right approach. We need to be using as many resources as possible to inform the community about the harms of dangerous things such as speeding and shooting and how that leads to deadly outcomes like what we saw this morning.
So not so many tickets, but conversations
yes.
with offenders when things are occurring out in the streets.
Right.
Okay. Daryl, what do you think? Let's start with this question of local control. Is your support of local control sort of half-baked, as your opponent suggests?
No, but when we talk about differences between me and my opponent is supported by an organization that is looking at defunding the police. And there are videos that show several of those members of that organization talking about defunding the police. I am not in favor of defunding the police. I am in favor of local control. I believe local control gives an opportunity for citizens to have better control and input in regards to the police department, especially in regards to their budget, because we control the city controls their budget, but we have no control in regards to other things. Yeah. I don't think that somebody in Peculiar, Missouri should be making decisions on Kansas City Police Department.
Do you think it would make a difference in terms of the rate of violent crime in this community if we had local control?
I think that it would be a start, because then you'd get community involvement, you get community engagement, and that's what's going to help stop crime or help kind of stem the tide of crime, because you have to have all stakeholders involved. You have to have the community involved. You have to have them working with the police department. You have to have neighborhoods involved. You have to have businesses involved. And without local control, we don't have a say in regards to how that looks and what happens in regards to our communities.
What do you think is causing all the violence on the streets these days?
I think part of it is a lack of things for our youth to do. And one of the things that I want to do when I become city councilman is look at programs, look at after school programs, collaborate with school districts in regards to how can we work with students in regards to making sure that they have something to do, some place to go after school. Look at creating some apprenticeship programs between unions and school districts so that they are given an opportunity to learn a trade. Look at more mentorships in regards to creating an environment so that students have an opportunity to talk to mentors that help, that will help give them an opportunity to look at other ways of doing things as opposed to entering into a life of crime.
What else do you want to do in terms of fighting violent crime?
I want to look at making sure that we are working together. I mean, I want to work with youth. I want to create youth programs. I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to talk to them so that we can make sure that they understand that that is not the right path. Education. Let's start with education, because we have to make sure that they are educated as well. And we have to start at an early age. Violent crime is very important to me because I grew up in the inner city. I knew what it was like. Back in those days, we didn't shoot each other. We used our fists, and we took care of any issues that we had by fighting with our fists. One in four African Americans between the ages of 18 and 30 are going to be a victim of homicide.
Right.
We're only 27, 28% of the population of Kansas City. That is terrible. So we've got to look at trying to do some things in the inner city and urban core to make sure that we address violent crime.
Michael Kelly, I want to clear up this question.
Yes.
Your opponent has raised about defunding the police. Do you favor that in any way?
No.
Yeah. Just point blank.
No.
Okay. How about the question of, do we need to hire more police officers?
No, I don't support that, because I think that we are already forced to give $250 million, or 25% of our budget, I'm sorry, of our budget every year to the police. And for whatever reason, we're giving them that money, and we have no control over how that funding is spent after the fact. I find it very difficult to believe that they can increasingly ask for more money and still not find a way to hire more officers.
And that more money may be going to the police as a result of a lawsuit that's underway right now. How about more police officers, Darryl Curls? Do we need to hire more?
I think that there's already a process in place to hire more police officers. I think the problem is that they just cannot find the applicants for the police department.
And so what happens then?
Well, what happens then is what's happening now, is that you just do not fill those positions. I think that the funding is already in place. We just have to find the applicants. And that goes back to getting into the schools and working with students in regards to letting them know, number one, that there are positions available. Number two, that the police department is not in a job that is so bad that you shouldn't be considering it as an opportunity mm-hmm. to go into law enforcement.
The other concern you hear so much about is a lack of trust in the department, a lack of communication with leadership of the department, especially from residents in Kansas City's Black communities. Is that being addressed right now with our new police chief? Does more need to be done? What do you think?
No, I don't think that it does. And I think one of the issues where this has come up very prominently is with the issue of missing Black women and girls. And so the Kansas City Defender has done a really good job of talking about this issue. And I think something that's important to note is that, you know, the police department has said that they would reestablish that missing persons unit, and it's been very slow to do that. There have been very clear indications from the community that they want more investments in jobs and other programs. And so far, Chief Graves has not been able to deliver on that. Now, I know it's early. She still is getting used to the job, and she deserves an opportunity to be able to address those concerns. But as far as what I am seeing and what I am hearing from people when I knock on doors, that is not something that people are building trust for based on what they're seeing at this point.
Daryl, what do you think? How are relations between the Black side of town and the police department?
I think right now they are strained, and I think that we have to work together in order to try to bridge that gap. And I would be willing to try to put those entities together in order to do that. I think that there is a mistrust in the police with the police department in the Black community, and we have to start bringing people together, and we have to begin that now. So we have to sit down and look at how we can bridge that gap in the Black community, because I think there's a lot of distrust that's taking place, and so we've got to work together. I think that Chief Graves is off to a good start, but we don't need just PR. We need action, and we need to look at community policing. We need to look at putting more officers into the community and becoming more familiar with the Black community.
I need a real quick answer on this last question. Do you support the concept of a $2 billion downtown baseball stadium and area around that stadium to boost business in that part of the downtown? What do you think, Daryl?
I am not opposed, and I'm not in favor right now. I just have several questions in regards to it. I mean,
Undecided. I got to move on. Michael?
No. I am opposed at this time.
Because?
There's not enough community engagement. We don't know the full value of the project, and we also don't have clarification on how it aligns with city goals, especially related to infrastructure and sustainability.
Okay, we're going to leave our conversation there, and it was a good one. You just met our two candidates for the 5th District at-large seat on the Kansas City Council. The election's June 20th. Those candidates, Michael Kelly and Daryl Curls. Gentlemen, thanks for a good conversation. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
Up to Date is produced by Zach Wilson, Reginald David, Elizabeth Ruiz, Zach Perez, and Hannah Cole. Our intern is Claudia Brancard. Our announcer and engineer is Paul Nakatura. Our theme music is composed and performed by the great Bobby Watson. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Star Wars Institute.